Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for calling the psychiatric hotline. Please listen carefully to all options before making your selection. If you are obsessive-compulsive, please press 1 repeatedly. If you suffer from multiple personality disorder, please press 2, 3, and 4. If you are codependent, please ask someone else to press 5 on your behalf. If you are a nymphomaniac, please stop doing that with the phone, put your clothes back on, and then dial extension 69. If you are schizophrenic, listen carefully, and a little voice will tell you which number to press. If you suffer from irrational paranoia, there is no need to press any button. We already know who you are and what you want. Just stay on the line so we can trace the call. If you are delusional and occasionally hallucinate, please be aware that the thing you are holding on the side of your head is alive and about to bite off your ear.
What have we done?
What's going on, everybody? Like a bat out of hell, twice the fat, double the smell. This is The Abyss. Thanks for checking us out. That kind of could have went a little bit better than I thought. I'm going to have to tweak that up a little bit later.
I thought we agreed on triple the smell.
I was hoping for more Vincent Price. I am really upset.
Why the hell am I covered in guano? That's a completely different story altogether. But my name is Eric Yates. Joining me this week, I have, I guess you guys can call them the crew. I have Preston, Scott, and B Square.
Howdy do.
And
Gene Bean.
All right. But for the next hour, we're going to take you into a trip of the absolute worst and best that you can get. And you probably got the worst right here.
We are dedicated fan. We're Finn. Dedicated Finn.
Yeah. And, of course, all of this possible by the gracious hosts at awesomebadness.com. Thanks for inviting us to do a show. God help them. They haven't heard any of the last ones we've done, so.
You mean those two other ones where we did the whole. Oh.
Yeah, those.
Oh, okay.
You mean the two other ones that were pretty much exactly the same as this one?
Shut up! Don't go there.
Don't bust a bubble.
No, actually, this is going to be a completely different piece of crap. Trust me on that.
Oh.
So, yeah. If you do have any... we've got all kinds of stuff to talk about this week. With, of course, the kickoff to Halloween Horror Nights 18 starting in just 2.5 short weeks, man.
Hey!
Crap, man, I can't wait for this. It's going to be so much fun. Oh, man, everything about it's just so, like, awesome. The website, I really was trying to get a grassroots campaign of let's all do acid and just watch the flash screen because it was amazing.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Over LSD, I prefer mushrooms. It's much mellower. I'm just saying.
You guys are all pussy.
It's the truth.
For the oven.
Oh, yeah, you're young. You've not completely raped your brain yet. Like I did. Yes, the website is very cool. I tell you one thing that the Halloween Horror Night 18 website has done for me has given me an almost uncontrollable urge to drink Bloody Marys, which is what I'm doing right now. Bloody Marys. And later on, if you guys are good, I will give you my own personal HHN 18 Bloody Mary recipe. So stay tuned for that.
Yeah, you definitely don't want to miss that. And if for some god-awful reason you want to be a part of this madness, you can give us a call at 347-237-LAMO. Yes, the phone number fits the show, folks. That's 347-237-5266. So if you want to check it out, also I do encourage everybody to check out our mother site. Is there anything like a mother site? The mother site. AwesomeBadness.com, which, again, the hosts of which have been very gracious enough to invite us and let us do our thing here, which I think after this first show, they'll probably have second thoughts. So,
yeah.
I'm confused. I'm going to go back to my Daniel Day-Lewis.
Milkshake! Oh, leave the milkshakes. But, yeah, so we have a few minutes to kill before we queue up this interview.
As long as you don't drink my Bloody Mary, you can have my milkshake. I drink your Bloody Mary! I'm fighting words.
Oh, that just makes my nipples harder. Let's not talk.
Well, all right then.
And that's what we're here for.
And well, got nipples are going to be the running theme of this.
Oh.
Yes, but how does it all affect Scott's nipples?
Well,
what we
want. We're gonna get Rush Limbaugh in. Well, you can never give enough Rush Limbaugh signing out. Oh.
Well, that's how we're going to rate the house ideas this
nipple
year.
Meter.
The harder his nipples get, the better the house, right?
Well, all kidding aside, your nipples aside, Scott, we'll go around with Scott here, which is the most anticipated house that you're looking forward to this year?
It's hard to decide, but I do have to say in Interstellar Terror or Creatures, because and the Return to Body Collectors. I don't either one of those three. They look amazing. They sound amazing. Pretty much everything looks amazing this year. And gotta tell you, looking forward to all the scare zones and the Rocky Horror Picture Show, because God knows I know all the freaking lines. And if anyone's around me when the show goes on, you're gonna have a good time. That's all I'm saying.
What about you, B?
Me? I'll have to go along with Scott. I'm looking forward to Creatures, mostly because of The Thing last year, just how wonderful the puppetry was, and how just every time you turned a corner, you'd see some new bizarre puppet creature that you hadn't seen before. I'm hoping they really up the ante with that. I want to see just, you know, giant tentacle monsters. I don't know if I'm setting myself. Yeah, I know that's. I don't know what that says about me, Freudianly speaking. But I just want to see that. You know, I like the idea of creating something that you could not see anywhere else. You know, making it appear to be alive. I like that. And the more they get into that, the more anticipatory I become towards it. I'm also looking forward to Interstellar because I like the idea of a maze based on Event Horizon, which is a really great flick, except for the end.
Yeah, and if you look at the website, it kind of looks like Event Horizon a whole hell of a lot.
And I have this idea that they could use the sound stage. I mean, this is just off the top of my head now. They could use the sound stage, the space in the sound stage, by sending a hallway right through the middle of the sound stage and then painting the whole, draping the entire outside of the sound stage like outer space so you can look into this great big void. You know, I mean, they can actually use that space, which I think might be interesting. But I'll tell you what, if I see anyone wearing a leotard with white specks on it standing against a star background, I'm giving it up right there.
So we'll make sure that's the last house we go into.
Yes, none of that.
So, and what about you, Preston?
I have to agree with Creatures. Just something about the puppetry and the, I mean, if
it
it's only,
fun, doesn't it?
Yeah, if it's only one like big tentacle lashing onto a building, I mean, that's a good start. But as long as it's more than that, as long as there's another creature somewhere. And they really got the farm hick thing to work with, like deer hunting season. It's beautiful. But I'm expecting
that
really
my heart, too.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, Bruce is again wearing a skin right now.
Right.
In preparation for Creatures, keeping warm.
And skin at this point.
No, but at the end of summer. But now, and Interstellar Terror, exactly what Bruce said. I want to feel like I'm either. And yeah, no aliens, but I want to feel like I'm either walking through the alien set of Great Movie Ride or the queue for Space Mountain. I want something like that. And the drape thing is a great, simple, but totally effective idea if they do it with the soundstage space. So I'm totally with Bruce on that.
It sure is cold enough in there to be space, isn't it? I mean, God, those soundstages are freezing.
Mars isn't the place to raise your kids. In fact, it's cold as hell.
Cold as hell, yes. That's what I hear.
Yeah, all those actually sound really good. I tell you one thing I'm really curious about is Bloody Mary. How is Bloody Mary going to fit into all of this? I mean,
Cool. I don't know, but she fits into my glass damn well. Here's to you, Mary. Mm-hmm.
And, oh, my God, I love HHN. Sorry, darling. This is what you get before you get the meat. You get the potatoes. You get the sizzle before you get
I've heard that before.
Yeah. You get the potatoes before you get to the meat, baby.
Bring on the shame.
Unless you eat your meat.
Exactly.
Can't have any pudding.
Unless you eat your meat.
Don't eat your meat.
And with that, speaking of Halloween Horror Nights, of course, the whole reason why everybody's listening this week is because we have an interview.
You mean an exclusive interview, right?
Other sites have gotten it, but I'm sure they just...
No, So you're telling me they've gotten it, but they didn't put it up yet. So it's an exclusive until they put it up.
Yeah, it's exclusive.
So we've got an exclusive.
Put it up first, it's ours.
Okay, well, regardless, we have an interview with Mr. TJ Manorino.
TJ!
And I'm going to ask that the staff of the Abyss here, of the Awesome Badness Idiot Show, I'm going to ask that for the next 37 and a half minutes that you either unplug your microphone or remain quietly. And without further ado, here's Mr.
Rift Tracks.
Uh-oh.
Big John Call is senator.
I guess this is for both of you guys. Bloody Mary is such a huge kind of urban legend, such a myth. Why go about it on the website and... I absolutely have to say that the backstory was fantastic and phenomenal, but why go about it from a doctor's standpoint, that she's a psychiatrist? Why go about it from there instead of going back into more of a ghost story?
Well, that's a good question. You know, for us, Bloody Mary and the folklore and myth and legend behind her is really quite mysterious. You know, when... we sat down originally to start looking at what is our story that we're going to tell. You know, Universal has been known for, and we strive for here at Halloween Horror Nights in Orlando, is to kind of give you a unique experience, which I think most of you have seen. So, in starting that same path with this icon and saying, okay, what is Bloody Mary's story for us to tell? You know, there's so many different... people in the past that somehow connected to Bloody Mary, but nobody really has a true understanding that that is the fact true story for Bloody Mary. So for us, it's just as strong as that the doctor, Mary Agana, and her very strange treatments of her patients with her immersive fear phobias was a great way to tell our story, wrap into it a lot of the themes of the haunted houses, and kind of start the path of, you know, everything that anybody's ever been afraid of, you know, that they've dreamed up, you know, through folklore, from legends to myths, really is true. It is real, and if you make your way to conjure up Bloody Mary, she'll bring it to life, much like the doctor did 50 years ago. So that's kind of our great way of telling, our version of the urban legend Bloody Mary for Universal's Halloween Horror Nights.
Has the fate of Boris Schuster been officially announced yet?
No, it has not.
Yeah.
Boris is a great character within the web story campaign. And what's great about the website that we really have enjoyed doing for quite a few years now is we love our audience. Our audience is unbelievably faithful to the story and the character we create for the many weeks prior to opening Halloween Horror Nights. And we understand that. We actually, you know, really try to connect 100% with what our audience is looking at, what they're reading, what they're talking about through the various websites that some of you guys actually maintain and operate. So it's a great way for us to kind of, you know, keep our story, you know, alive is the best way to use it. And Boris and Mary, Dr. Agana, you know, and other characters that we might come in contact with, come and go. So the state of Boris is still in question, and I'll probably say about that much. But we love having everybody out in the community, you know, come up with their theories about what has happened, what's gone on in that fateful night 50 years ago on the 27th. And the website, the way we delivered the kind of the final moments, you know, 50 years ago today, you know, last week, was kind of that. It was a kind of a good way to really have our audience really get engaged with this whole aspect of the mystery, the questions that legends create, you know, and the answers that you might get when you come to the event or over the next few weeks, too, as we continue our various story campaigns with the website.
A couple follow-ups on that. One of the big questions on some of the boards has been, what is the relevance of August 27, 1958, if there is indeed any relevance to that?
Well, for our story, it was the day that Mary Ghana disappeared, either died or went missing. We have left that kind of open-ended. And a few things, you know, she is rumored that she was died. You know, there definitely was a horrific scene that happened at her place of business. Another way for that was to really put a lot of focus on that date, because the next day was the day that the image of Bloody Mary, or even some parts of that day, became real in Florida. We started seeing billboards, started becoming, you know, actually being announced and becoming, you know, erected in various locations. You know, the first picture you saw of Bloody Mary was at the end of, you know, the online campaign for Dr. Ghana. So we kind of matched that up to kind of break with a lot of our media. But it was a great way to kind of set that in kind of a, you know, a critical time point that, you know, that was the day that Mary, the doctor, presumably died, and the day that Bloody Mary kind of was born. And that was the day that we all started seeing her for real through the commercial, through the billboards, and online. Was the day that you actually got all those images. So that's kind of how we wrapped that story, kind of that date.
And as a second question, I know we talked a little bit about Boris, but how about the legendary Truth Investigative Team, 32819? Might we see or hear more from them?
I think your assumptions are correct. You know, they've taken the story to the present day. Boris continued our story 50 years ago. Today, the legendary Truth Investigators have taken their elements of describing and understanding and trying to really investigate the legend of Bloody Mary and how does it connect to this doctor 50 years ago. You know, they found some interesting, startling stuff at her, you know, her definitely, you know, her place of business, which we haven't really disguised or basically revealed yet. But yes, you'll meet them again. You'll probably hear them in the coming weeks as we continue with some of the updates that we like to do within the website. So I can't tell you much because, you know, the wonderful thing we like about the online world is it really is a community. You know, it's a great group of people that are all over the world that really enjoy the aspects of being part of our story. And we're going to actually try to get you guys involved even more, hopefully, this year. To be part of the, you know, to get you up to opening night, and then even have opportunities that we might even include elements during the event, too, that continue this story all the way through. So it's kind of, you know, as we've said through some of our messaging, is that it's probably going to be the most immersive year, not only by the amount of content, because this year proves for all of us who've done this event for very many, many years, it is by far the biggest original content we've ever created for this event in 18 years. And it's probably the most immersive because it lives in and outside the park. Online in some aspects, you know, it'll live in the real world a little bit for some of the stuff that happened, you know, over at Boris's place on the 27th. By far, I think this year for the fans, for the guests, there's going to be more that they've ever had to choose from than they ever had before. And it's going to be in so many different areas. I think, you know, if you guys experienced some of the online stuff, we were actually talking to our guests through emails, through text messaging, online, you know, real-world stuff, you know, and that's something unique and different for an event like this, and we're excited about doing it this year.
Going back to the site, one thing that Halloween Horror Nights has been really known for through the past, I don't know, at least 5 years, has been the different takes on the site, the different contents, probably most notably from 15 with the Terror Queen, and all the way up to last year with Jack's Carnival of Carnage. How did you come to the conclusion to take this approach to the design of the site?
Luckily, I have the wonderful opportunity of working with Eric and the online team to create all the content. Our online partners do all of the programming pieces. They work with us on the positioning of what's the best way to deliver, you know, the various content and story elements, and then entertainment in the area that I work with. We create all of the actual pieces, from the audio to the music to all the images that you see pretty much on the site. So it's a great partnership. It's something that we actually created back in 2002 when it's like the first time we really kind of separated ourselves and built our own unique website outside of the main UO website. And every year since then, we've really got into this kind of pre-show, if we want to call it, campaign. So some of the years you talk about, it is always the first thing that we sit down. As much as like we plan this event in the November and December time frames, we're right behind the heels with the website design and story. We usually start planning, I would say, around February, about how the campaign is going to take the stories that we've created for the event, wrap them into kind of this teaser campaign that gets delivered over a certain number of weeks or months, and try to, at the same time, keep people excited about what's coming next, and at the same time, keep them engaged with what we've given them at each different delivery point. So it's fun. So, yeah, the year that we did Terra Coentis back in 2005, you know, it was a goal that year to kind of take an event for the first time and wrap kind of a single story theme around everything that had been created, all the different houses, the streets, the characters, and every island, every house had, you know, some different type of chain of events that all supported the Terra Queen that year. And so we felt the best way to tell that story that year was through maps, to just basically kind of evolve the world of this kind of fictional place called Terra Coentis, and how each place kind of supports each other through this kind of strange ritual of building a blade to the blood sacrifice, and then ultimately, culminating at the Terra throne where they fed the tree, which then in turn fed the queen. So yeah, it was kind of a twisted story, but we had a fun time telling it. And there's no other better place to do it than online, because you have all of the tools to your basically opportunities to use through the sights, the sounds. The one thing we miss that we get here in real world is the smells that we love to do. If there was a way we could do that online, we'd figure that out and we'd have some fun with that too. Every year it really is trying to take what we have for the event. Because the biggest thing that makes, I think, the design successful and we strive for is figuring out ways to give you as much different elements in the way of characters, environments, stories, because we don't want all of them to look the same. You wouldn't want to come to a theme park that has seven, Spider-Man rides. Mm-hmm. You want something that's, that can appeal to every different type of, people's fears or phobias. So coming up with, like this year's 8 haunted houses, 6 scare zones, every one of them has to be different so you can please as many. Then you put that back onto the shoulders of, okay, how do we tell you a story that creates a similar through line? And that becomes quite a bit of a challenge for the web designers and programmers, because we really want to try to make sure that it's coherent, at the same time it's still diverse. So that's a fun, line to kind of walk. But each year we feel like we've done a good job, and then every year changing it. So every year we got to come up with something new and have it, evolve for the next year. So as you mentioned, to the years of Terra Coentis, to the carnival last year, we took all the attractions and decided they were sideshows in this twisted carnival. We gave each element kind of a different tier, where there were the carnival attractions, which were the haunted houses, and then the side shows were the shows, and then what we called the midway was kind of the streets. So we kind of took the content and said, okay, we put these in three different pools of thematic. How can we tell their stories a little different to kind of separate them, but at the same time put them all together? And so we said that Jack had traveled the world to create this kind of twisted carnival and found all the most, horrific and dangerous items, and basically gave you a challenge like any good carnival does, which is step right up, take a chance, see if you can survive. So that was kind of what we set as a loose thematic that, brought everything together. And then we said, okay, how do you deliver that over 9, 10, 12 weeks? We said every carnival comes to town in a slow build. It's that whole thing that we've all grown up watching in movies and films. The carnival comes to town, it's a parade, it's kind of this one piece after another. Every strange wonder element, is mysterious or intriguing, as it shows up. And we did that last year through the kind of the campaign. This year was taking this world of myths and legends and saying, how do they all connect? And say, well, they live in this strange world that Mary kind of controls the portal. When you call her name, she opens the mirror basically and either drags you to it or delivers you, into it. And so that, when we sat down to say, how do we want to deliver that online, was this application that we have that we kind of call Reflections of Fear, which is the kind of the fly-through experience. There's no better way to kind of really figure out that if you get sucked into the mirror, you want to travel into it. You don't want to really navigate left or right, which a lot of, the navigational tools that we've actually done in the past, through last year's carnival, You know, this was a great way to kind of have you pull into the mirror and experience the different worlds between tales and myths. And all of the stuff that you see in the application that we designed are actual pieces from this event. It's the actual drawings and elevations we've done for the body collectors. It's an actual room from the body collector's house. The school that you go into in the urban legend scene is the schoolhouse that you'll be able to walk into on the scare zone, the school over by Mel's. You know, so those are some of the elements. All the sounds that you hear are actually pulled from the soundtrack in the haunted houses or in the streets within the event. So by far, it's probably the first time we've ever done, and probably anybody has done, is built a virtual environment that has a real-world actual counterpart to it. It's almost, you know, kind of a mirrored image, if I want to use that term. Okay, my humor. But so we're real excited about this year and that we've been able to kind of, you know, match up the experience online as what we feel is going to be what you're going to actually get when you come to the park.
I really enjoyed checking out the site, and I appreciate that for, you know, a lot of new content and all, you know, and just the way the whole thing is so immersive. But do you think in the future that it may be possible that, oh, we may see a return to some previous characters like the New Line characters you used last year, or maybe new versions of older houses again?
Every year, I'll say yeah. I'll give you the simple answer, yeah. Every year we look at everything we do. And you know, the luxury of this event, and sometimes the curse a little bit, is the guests really demand it to be all new. And as designers, we really love that because that makes our job so exciting every year when we sit down, and a little frightful, because we're like, oh, great, we did a great job. How do we do something different and new and not don't make it look like we just rehashed something from a previous year? So everything becomes really, you know, an opportunity for us. You know, do the New Line characters look enticing and you know, can we present them a whole new way that we haven't done before that nobody's done before either? If that becomes something that makes sense with, you know, where we think the designs want to go, where do we think the guests want us to take them, then yes, it makes a possibility that could be an opportunity for, you know, thematic. Do houses come back? Yeah, Body Collectors is a perfect example. It's come back. You know, last time we did that was back in, you know, 2005, you know, and so it's been a three-year hiatus since we've actually talked about the Body Collectors as a house or a character, and their story has changed this year. So, yeah, I think everything we do with this event, you know, we really look at the past, we look at what we've done, we look at what we want to do next and what the guests want us to do. I think, you know, this year is a perfect example of that, in that we brought back Rocky Horror. We know that was a great fan favorite, so we knew that was definitely something that was going to come back with no questions asked. At the same time, we heard the fans had loved the houses last year, they loved the shows, but they really wanted to have a better street program. They wanted to have more content in the streets, and so we sat down this year and said that's the biggest goal as the design team this year, is that how do we get more unique characters, more things that they've never seen before in a Halloween event in the streets? How can they actually come in contact with it? How can they see it? How can they be amazed by it? So that was what we sat down and did this year as the new element to make this event, you know, again, you know, never been done before. You know, we hear that, but, you know, it is kind of the mantra that we design by, that can we challenge ourselves and at the hope challenge our guests to come and experience this thing that they've never seen, is what we do every year. So, yeah, everything can come back and change and different, and nothing is not, you know, off limits in the way of, you know, thematics, because it's always about what can we do that's going to be unique.
Well, I know our group will definitely be happy that there will be multiple scare zones again.
Good.
That was the one big comment about last year's event, that individual houses were good, enjoyed the shows, but where's the scare zones? You know, people were sort of shrugging, but that's good to hear that they're back.
Yeah, no, we're excited about that. You know, the scare zones, you know, in every element, every year, you know, from moving park to park, when we go to Islands of Adventure and we go back to USF, each park has its own uniqueness to it from a design standpoint. And, you know, and this is, you know, part of this is like making the perfect, you know, horrific cake. You know, all the ingredients you stick into it changes the mix just a little bit each year. So, you know, we're all about trying to see how can we keep perfecting it, how can we keep making it better and changing it. So, you know, Street Zones is a piece that we're real excited about this year, and we'll see how it does and how the shows and the house mix all those, and then next year we start to play with those ingredients again.
Is there any way that you could tell us, you mentioned briefly that the school is going to be in front of, around Mel's.
Yes.
Could you give us any kind of possibility where the other scare zones may be?
Yeah, there's no problems with that. Actually, the event this year is pretty well spaced out. We took all the scare zones, and as we've mentioned, we really, you know, listened and asked a lot of questions about the guests. And, you know, the one thing that we loved about the park layout with Islands of Adventure is that once you walk through the gate, you kind of had a slow build until you got to what we call the Lagoon Landing, where we usually had a big statement right there. You know, when you use Universal Studios, and this is a perfect example, as I said, each park has a different design kind of dichotomy to it, is that when you come past the front gate, now last year we really got excited about doing the whole front gate statement with the carnival, and we had, you know, we had Jack's Bucks out front and in the carnival truck, and we dressed the arch up. You know, well, this year we are going to do a big entrance statement again. We feel that is something the guests responded to, they loved a lot, and at the same time, it starts them on their journey. You know, our story this year, as you see with the website, is you enter the front gate, is our story is that you've entered Mary's world. That's the mirror. That is the place that you come in contact and actually take the dare, saying, do I dare say her name and enter this strange world with myths and legends and tales and fears and nightmares. And so what we decided to do this year was to bring the content to the front gate. So once you get past the turnstiles, you are forced with a choice at that point to say, I have to enter this world. I'm already in it, but I have to choose, do I turn right and go down Hollywood Boulevard, which encapsulates the Asylum in Wonderland world scare zone, or do I go straight to Plaza of the Stars and enter the world of Path of the Wicked? Those two scare zones are set there for the sheer fact of saying, we want you to realize that you can't get out of this world. It is an intersection that you have to choose. You have to say, do I go left and enter the twisted world of Alice in Wonderland and the Asylum in Wonderland and deal with, you know, our likes and our story characters of Alice and the White Rabbit, or do you go straight into the Land of Oz where the witch is won and deal with those components? And then you don't get done with that. Right after that, you have two other scare zones right behind those things. You have a scare zone that's called American Gothic that lives in the streets over by Shrek Alley, and the Schoolhouse scare zone is down by the Mills intersection of La Bamba. So right there, you already have four really intense, highly themed, you know, with the most imaginable characters you've ever seen, right in the first, you know, 300 yards of your experience in this park. And that was the goal, like I said, to bring Halloween to the guests from the minute they step in the front door to say, I'm in Halloween, and I'm no way getting out of it. Other scare zones that populate around the park, we've hinted around some roaming groups, Chainsaw Drill Team and a zombie troop. They live on the back side of the park. And they complement some of the other zones in the way of that, you know, between, you know, our new attraction of Simpsons, you know, and the Bill and Ted show, there's elements back in those areas that you'll see these kind of roaming troops. We have a scare zone the first time over in Kids Zone that actually takes you in context with the two haunted houses that'll enter through that area, which is the Hollow Haunted House and Scary Tales. The scare zone that you actually enter into is called Fractured Tales. So that kind of gets you ready for those two haunted houses. Much like Streets of Blood, which will be in New York, our version of London, will get you ready and excited to go into the Body Collector's House, which will be in the soundstage but enters into the New York area. So we kind of, you know, took a lot of what people had talked to us about and had the opportunity of kind of taking the characters out into the streets a little bit and kind of getting you set up for what you might see in a haunted house. So that kind of gives you a brief description of kind of the street environment.
As far as the entrance, one of the things on the media website indicated something called dark reflections. Is it safe to assume that that is your entrance statement or zone or whatever you want to call it?
It's kind of a mixture. Definitely it's going to incorporate the front gate, you know, up front will definitely, you know, be, you know, the images that will get you in tune with Mary herself and the world that she's bringing. And then there'll be a few characters that will populate around the front gate area to give those people those kind of unexpected scares. You know, we look at them like the Chainsaw Drill Team and the zombies as places that you don't expect because they're not announced. You know, when you say a scare zone, there's a piece of real estate, as you guys even asked, where does this live? Where do I expect to see these characters? So we build an expectation for the guests that they want to see something here. So that's a great way to give people, like, oh, I want to make sure I go here and I go here and I go here because I want to see these characters. Well, these roaming groups, they give us the ability, which is the best thing for a Halloween event, which is the unexpected. The element of surprise, don't know when it's coming because it's not announced. So those three groups are groups that we're going to use to our advantage. And certain times of the night, when we have more people at certain areas of the park, they might show up there. So that's about all I'll give you. You know, it really has become kind of a choreographed dance of how do we make sure we're entertaining you every place we possibly get to you, except for the parking lot. If we get out there, we try to do that too. But that's where those groups will kind of end up, and you'll see them when you least expect them.
you know, the technology for these Horror Night events, not only Universal but other parks, is built over the years, you know, from people just shaking cans and slamming trash can lids or whatever to other sorts of technology. Should we look for any sort of new type of technology to scare people this year?
Well, technology is wrapped into everything. You know, every year we get something, you know, new that we can have opportunities to play with. The biggest thing about technology that, as designers, we have to kind of limit ourselves with is that the reliability. You know, technology, new technology, you know, depends on lots of components that if one thing goes out, you can lose, you know, your whole scare for a large amount of people. So for us, we definitely use it to our advantage, and we try to make sure that we manage ourselves, not trying to put too much into the product, where if it was to fault or fall out, we're not going to lose the experience. So it kind of, again, it becomes this kind of, you know, as I said earlier about making the cake, it's, you know, it's ingredients of how much technology, you know, how much really is character-driven. You know, this event, by the sheer mass of people that we have to entertain, and the uniqueness of each person being individual and what they react to and how they react to it, we found that, you know, our biggest tool is our performers. You know, technology is a wonder to kind of help create the atmosphere, and that's probably the best and the most we use technology for is really to set up the scene, but we really depend a lot on our performers and the characters we create, that they become the people that deliver, you know, the interaction and the scares, because they can react, you know, quicker than any type of technology, and they can tailor it to every, you know, person they come in contact with. From the person who you can see walking down the street is clutching, you know, their partner that they're already afraid, you know, to the person who thinks, oh, I'm not afraid of anything, you know, and those are the types of people that we key on, and we've coached our performers and the characters that we've created to put them in. You know, are these things that, you know, can either draw their attention, you can distract them, they can scare them, they can, you know, give them that first bit of shriek, and then laugh because they were like, we were scared by a bush. You know, so it is probably, you know, one of the events that technology is successful, but by far, I think, you know, the old true, you know, facts of the performance is what really becomes what I think the guests, you know, enjoy the most when they walk away.
Yeah, I have actually a nice little story about that from the first time I visited Horror Night. I think it was in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
And one of our party was in a wheelchair, and one of the mazes happened to be where Revenge of the Mummy is now.
Okay.
Still Kong.
Mm-hmm.
And we're with a group, we're cruising through, and all of a sudden we come to this part where there's an incline. And my friend in the wheelchair freaks out because it's foggy, she can't see the ramp. And I go, well, you wait here, I'll go take a look. So anyway, I go ahead, the rest of the strangers with us depart. And I find, okay, there's a ramp here. So I go back to find her, I turn around, and behind them are about 20 scare actors,
uh-huh,
all just creeping up on the wheelchair.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, Linda, you might want to look behind you. Complete freak out. It was hilarious.
No, it's great. You know, the performers from all of my years of doing this, you know, that's what makes this event, I think, so unique. And we as designers, you know, strive every year to figure out how can we give each character a unique personality. We name all the characters in the haunted houses. So if you've gone through some of the old Scream houses, we name the whole family. So each character has its own personality, so they fit into some type of strange, you know, family tree structure. Because each character then has uniqueness to themselves and to what they present to the guests. You know, and it is. It's like they can interact with you as a single component. They can get their friends and say, hey, we want to do, you know, a gang mentality and sneak up on someone like your friend. You know, and those are the things that, as designers, we set the stage, we give them all the tools, but it really becomes their excitement, their passion, and their ingenuity that takes it the next step. And that's what really reacts best with the guest, you know. And then to give them, you know, the opportunity to be, you know, some of the most fanciful characters. Our prosthetics department and our costuming and wardrobe pieces, you know, to walk down the street and see a fully, you know, built-out white rabbit is going to be unique for the guest and for the performer, because he becomes the white rabbit. He's not just somebody in a mask. He's somebody who actually is a full-blown, breathing white rabbit. So that's the stuff that, you know, again, as designers, we get tickled by it, and then we really enjoy how the guest get excited and walk away talking about it, because we think it's you know, it's one big playpen of toys. It's like, what can we do next year, and what can we make the guests get amazed by? So it is something that I know myself and the wonderful team of people that create this all year really have a blast doing, because it is a love, and it's really a love for the guests' response, what they walk away and talk about. And so it's a fun time for everybody all the way around.
earlier you had mentioned the fans and some of the fan sites, and obviously you know that these guys like to do a lot of digging and whatnot, and apparently someone, I believe it was on the Vault, came across a website registered to UniversalLegendaryTruth.com. Just wondering if we might see another site-related website along that line.
Okay, yeah. I am amazed, but at the same time, I have a pretty good expectation that, as we say here, is the fans are always going to be smarter than us. You know, because they work together as an unbelievably group. They communicate, they share resources, they theorize, and we love that. You know, for designers, we're always about how do we get them thinking about new elements and new components. The Legendary Truth piece is something we're looking at. And, like, again, I'm not going to show my hand here, but we've been planning and working and you know, theorizing and strategic, you know, planning, laying out stuff. Yeah, you're going to see stuff. I'll give you that much. And it's going to be, I think, exciting. And it's going to take the event in some new areas that we haven't before. You know, with all the technologies that people are now completely wired with, you know, Blackberries and cell phones and emails. And just as we started doing a little bit in the teaser campaign, I think you're going to be able to see opportunities for us to talk to you guys different ways than we have in the past and deliver you stories and elements that you've never seen before. So, like I say, as we jokingly say here, you know, it's just the beginning. So pay attention.
Now, be honest on this one, PJ, and have a load of questions. Do you guys, I mean, looking at these websites, you just sit around as a group of designers and say, oh, my God, you know, how in the hell did they find this? Or even just laugh and think, what are they thinking?
You know what? We are just as much, I think, a part of the community as the community is. We definitely, you know, having all of your guys' sites available to understand at a moment's notice what the people are thinking about, what they're theorizing, what their expectations are, really helps us tailor the website to their needs. And as I've seen mentioned on many, many boards, is that, you know, the realization is the website is built, you know, to message our event, to tell people our story so when they get here, they have a better understanding of the characters and the environments they're going to come in contact with. But there definitely is a big underlying component, which is it really is a fan appreciation. You know, we do this because we know there is an audience, there is people excited about talking about this event, you know, weeks prior to it ever happening, you know, getting them excited about it, you know. So for us, it is a great opportunity to see, you know, what stuff we're actually revealing and the stories we're getting you with, how do you react to them. And then areas that you want to take it and places like that. So we definitely enjoy it, but we're definitely, you know, very much a part of it too. So we were, you know, in, you know, pretty much, I think, by side by side, even though we were different places, when everybody was enjoying the, you know, our five-hour delivery of Bloody Mary on Wednesday night, we were all here doing the same thing. We were pushing content, you know, seeing how it was reacting and actually and dealing with other components. So it was quite an experience on our end, too, to be able to play this type of, you know, kind of virtual world kind of show as us as, you know, kind of the performers and you guys as the audience. And getting that reaction is great. You know, as anybody that ever says who's performed on a live stage or anything like that, you know, getting that type of immediate reaction is something that's really unmatched. And being able to do it online, even though we're getting people reacting from the UK to the Northeast to, you know, the out west, you know, at all different time zones, seeing how they react to the immediate, you know, delivery of information is probably, you know, quite enjoyable for some of us old-timers like myself. So I'm excited about where we're going and, you know, the future, of course, of the online experience that we've been doing. And what guests, you know, will want to, you know, want to expand their online experience. So, fun stuff.
Have you guys ever done anything, I'm just curious, any surveys to really figure out how many people really religiously look at the website? I know, like, you know, the Vault may have a couple hundred people, and certainly some of the other websites at the Theme Park Review and whatnot obviously get the message out. But it still seems like, to me, that would be a very small group compared to the number of people that actually attend the event.
I know that there are some surveys done, and again, that doesn't fall into my area, but I know that we monitor like any websites do, page views, amount of time on the site, stuff like that. So there's a good gauge to understand, how much people and how much activity the website generates in the way of content that we release, when we release it. We were excited to see people show up in the park the other day, with something that was unannounced, people with the Bloody Mary phone number. We've tracked how many people have made, call to that phone number, and that's been quite, surprising for some people that an unpublished, unadvertised number can get that much excitement. And we're like, yeah. So we do track all this stuff. We pay attention to it, and then we use it as we plan and move forward. Because it really is that what type of, like the event, for the online experience, it really is that what reacts well with the audience, and then what we see, them, taking the time to experience, either coming, to the park and doing something like we did back in 2005, or just doing puzzles like we did last year with the carnival. We got a lot of great interest and excitement from those last year, a lot of great verbatims from people that actually saw me last year and some of the design team when we used to do different types of conversations or meet and greets. So we take all that information and we keep crunching it and we keep coming up with new ways to do things that, expands on those types of things.
I am the kind of person that likes to be surprised at events, so I've been sort of resistant to looking at the website for a while until Rob Alvey asked me to sit in on this call,
uh-huh.
So I had to check it out. And after looking at it, I was like, this really does enhance it. It actually brings up more questions than it answers, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, no, you are right. I think the hardest thing, because I try the best, because the world we live in, is split between trying to educate people about the event itself, but at the same time, as you said, cover the pieces that could give away the show. It's like, it's a good magician's trick. How much do you show them and how much do you not show them? What's great about Halloween and what we do, and the point that we talked a little bit briefly about the performers give us the most random opportunity to scare you. So what we try to do within the website messaging is to tell you about some of the characters, and some of the environments, but we won't connect all the dots. We'll give you dots that are, quite separated. We let your imagination kind of connect the dots. But we try to give you enough information, too, because the other side of that coin is that you don't want to build too much of an expectation that's completely wrong to the experience that you're going to get when you get here. So there's a fine line there that we try to make sure that we're giving you enough information and we're giving you enough correct information that what you theorize and what you come up with and what you imagine really is pretty close to what we're going to give you. And at the same time, we don't give all of it to you. So when you do show up, you probably have 50% or maybe even 35% of the true story. We get enough to get you excited, but when you get here, our goal is to say, wow, I never expected that, and it's bigger and better than I had hoped for or thought. So that's kind of what we really, really shoot for the online type of experience that gets you, set up for kind of the real-world experience when you come to the park. The website really gets its strength from, as you said, it's the audience. If we know people are out there, much like this event, is that if the audience keeps growing and they keep getting involved and they keep wanting to experience more earlier, then we're going to try to keep giving it to them. And that really is through all your guys' various, channels and outlets. So it's a great way, to keep both worlds growing and getting bigger and having more fun. And then see you guys on the street.
Very cool. You guys excited even more?
Better believe it. That was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun. Can't wait to go on those things, dude.
I know, and just the way that he was talking about not only the event a little bit, actually quite a bit. We lost somebody. No worries. The way that he was talking about the event, I mean, that was really great, but I've lost my train of thought. Just the way that we'll see more of the website this year, I think, is really what I'm excited about. You know, we haven't seen the last of Boris if you've been following the site. You'll know that Boris... Whoa, somebody's got feedback. All right, then. If you've been a fan of the website, if you've been following the website, you'll notice that, you know, they really incorporated this world, like TJ was saying. This huge, really immersive world, and in years past, that kind of... immersion has kind of disappeared.
You haven't seen it since 15, which was an amazing year for Halloween Horror Nights, because it was like the first year that everything actually came together as a full giant story, and it's really cool to see that back, because 16 was like, okay, it's 16, yeah, they got all the icons, and then like 17, well, we can do a carnival and Jack will be running it. But this year it feels like, here's a completely interesting story, read about it, check it out. Very cool stuff that ties everything together, not completely without fine strings, but enough that it makes sense that you're going to Scary Tales. That was part of, like, Bloody Mary's past, and that's cool. That's really, really cool.
Yeah, the through line.
Okay, and we lost B again.
That was a nice fade out. Well, if I may use some stall time for that, then a totally kind of different subject, but yet on the same subject. I thought it was really cool what he said about the online community. I mean, I don't know if that was just being overly nice, but to say that they like the reactions and that they're actually listening is really cool, just to know.
How far did I get before I got cut off there?
You got nothing.
Oh.
There's like the, and then the internet was like,
I think last year would have been better if they had some kind of Arctic-type scare zone leading up to the thing. You know, if we had just walked into a tent through a parking lot, you know, if it had snow and ice outside and, you know, maybe a couple of dogs running around or a helicopter, you know, crash, just something to make it look like you are where they say you are.
Well, they said that in the website that they took it from the Arctic station and moved it down to Florida.
Which is great if you're trying to freeze things. That's a brilliant idea. But that played into the whole thing, which is really cool. But
I just want to throw out that haunted house had a god in it. Even though it was a standing model, Kurt Russell, I came about 10 feet away from touching Kurt Russell, which is a god, and I feel immortal now.
I wonder if they'll reshoot the Kurt Sickle in Interstellar.
Big Trouble and Scott's nipples.
No, but he did say something... or Scott, you said something, or Preston, somebody said something, damn it.
Nipples.
Yeah, no. you said you wonder if he's actually being sincere or if he's just being completely nice and blowing smoke up our ass. he's actually being
sincere. Which ironically also gets nipples hard.
He's actually being sincere because if you'll notice, from year to year, from time to time, they tend to take some of the... people that are on the board, such as The Vault and IOA Central and Chainsaw Wolf and some of your really big HHN fan sites, and they will put their names all over the place, like such as around on a giant wall in a scare zone, won't they be?
Yes, they will. They will spray paint your screen name on a wall.
Or last year on the website, you're like, what kind of inmate's name is sexy for you? Or Beastler.
Yeah.
Or it's really the same person.
Why do you think they're inmates, man?
There you go.
The free name was going to be Jesus H. Christ. So
well, now it can be Rock Me Sexy Jesus. How about that?
That was a great film. You guys
it was.
Should see it. The two people
Hamlet 2? Is it good? Is it worth seeing?
The first scene, it's not the greatest movie ever made, but it's a very good film.
Well, just the whole Rock Me Sexy Jesus thing has me rolling on the floor. Can they top that joke? Anywhere in the film?
Yes.
That's
yes,
the funniest
exactly.
thing in the film. Okay.
But also, I'm interested. Tell me about the Bloody Mary stuff. You were talking about that.
Yes. Let's not get off the topic here. Let's stay let's stay with Halloween Horror Nights. B, what is your famous recipe for Bloody
Mary?
Well,
it's very simple. You have to use a good vodka. Now, I found, I can't even talk because I've been drinking all night long. I found this a kind of vodka especially made for Bloody Marys by Absolut. It's called Pepar. And it's perfect. It just goes so well with the Bloody Mary mix. So you use one part Absolut Pepar vodka, one and a half parts Mr. T Bloody Mary mix, and this is very important. Don't use tomato juice. Top it off with V8 juice. I prefer spicy V8 juice because it gives it a kick. But the V8 juice is thicker and it's better than tomato juice.
You mean I could have had a V8?
With vodka in it. Yeah, buddy, I'm having one right now. And, you know, drop a stick of celery in that bitch and enjoy. And, you know, think
I've heard that a lot of times.
Bloody Mary.
Yeah, and surprisingly, the drunker that B gets, the better he performs on the show. So we're going to have B drunk a lot.
Hey, I can get behind that 100%. You know, it's funny. I've been drinking these and saying Bloody Mary in front of mirrors all night long, and nothing has come through the mirror yet. So I figure I'm going to drink enough of these, and sooner or later, Bloody Mary.
Bruce is going to drink enough until he goes through the mirror.
Or something's going to come through the mirror. Get
an eyeball through the mirror.
Yeah. I don't know, but I always wanted to go to a Halloween Horror Night that was based on a cocktail, and now finally I have my wish.
Now, the ultimate will be if you can actually walk through the Bloody Mary house drinking
a Bloody Mary.
Guys, like
that's
I said,
better.
LSD trip continues from the computer screen to the event. That's all I'm saying.
It's a smooth transition.
We are going to have a group of LSD infected people. It's going to be a test to see if it really does segue well from the website to the actual event. That's just all I'm saying.
I've not done LSD in a long time. Did I just say that?
Yeah, you did. It's the flashbacks coming back to you. Well, that's pretty much going to about wrap it up. Oh, real quick. Metro Orlando Mommies, what do you guys think about that? I mean, really quick.
I think that they're mothers with too much to do. I think that they should watch their kids and talk to their kids instead of blaming other people for exercising their freedom of speech. But Riddler said something very interesting on the Iowa Central boards. He looked up this woman's name, who I don't have time to remember.
Well, that was from Things Like Insider. He quoted
okay.
it.
Okay. Well, apparently she's some kind of PR agent. And now the underground poop is that she was actually hired by Universal to create a stink about these billboards to get their name in the paper.
But you can say shit. It's okay.
Shit.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, wow. We're not censored anymore? Well, goddamn.
The only thing that I don't really want anybody to say too much is fuck, you know?
Right.
Because
okay.
fuck is like the just major awesome bad word. And
just
nobody.
Said it twice.
Oh, fuck. Did I?
I didn't point that out. I'll tell you. But, you know, if that's the case, then I think it's genius. But because the billboards themselves weren't the billboards from previous years worse than those?
Yeah, they target something different every year. If it's not the slips and the Burger King trays, it's the TV or, you know.
She looks
fairly
generic.
It's just
people.
Now.
There doesn't seem to be anything really special about her. I mean, she's a nice design, but there's nothing. She looks like skinny zombie bitch. I mean, I don't understand.
I can understand why
she's
upset, and it's because, you know, she just wants to protect her kids, and that's fair. If I was a parent, I would do the same thing. I wouldn't make a big fuss about it, but.
Yeah, but if Casey Anthony.
Teach your kids, don't shelter them.
Right. Well, with that, guys, we're going to wrap it up. Thank you for joining us so much on The Abyss. Till next week, keep on rocking the free world, or whatever it is Crazy Scott would say.
Keep those nipples iced.
My nipples can touch diamonds. God damn it.
And make sure that you check out our board, or not our boards, we don't have boards. Check out the website that our good, awesome leader, Mr. Hud, has decided to put up at awesomebadness.com. Preston, Bruce, and Scott all have articles written there, so make sure you check it out.
Read them. Comment.
Bye-bye.
Happy.
So, and until next time, that's it, guys. Have a good one.
Bye, Todd Nibbles.
Bye, Bruce.
But you got the left one or the right one?